Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Thanks to our mates at King G. Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Welcome indeed, Mark Guy, Brent Reed. My name is Tony Squires. It's lovely to have your company for this last hour of the show, the Saturday Scrum. And what a privilege it is to welcome to the show the head of football, Graham Annesley. G'day, mate.
Hey, Tony. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Good to see another man. I mean, your work ethic is amazing. And here it is, Easter break, but you're down to it. How's it been for you?
Well, it's been okay. A bit of downtime. Not too much, but a little bit more than normal.
All right. Well, just straight off the top with some of the news. What's come out of Lachlan Lewis, the HIA, where he stayed on seemingly for one set of six, perhaps too many, before he was taken off? What's the upshot of that?
Well, I think everyone would agree that it would have been better had he not restarted or rejoined the play after the injury break. Having said that, though, we need to find out what happened. The doctors and trainers, they're not looking at big screens. The doctor can be occupied in the dressing room. So we've got spotters in the bunker who relay messages to the sideline to get the doctor to have a look at videotape. And that's the system working. And thankfully, we got him off within the next set or at the end of the next set. But it would have been better if he'd come off, obviously, during the injury stoppage.
I was going to ask about that, Graham, the spotters in the bunker. So they're still there. Can they overrule the on, like if the club doctor misses it or doesn't, or decides to leave them out there, can they overrule that decision?
No, they can't make any diagnosis. All they can do is bring a tackle to the attention of the club doctor. The club doctor has sole responsibility for the medical treatment of the players and the medical assessment of players, along with their head trainer. So their job is to try and make sure that any suspected head injury isn't missed, and then they bring that to the attention of the club doctor as quickly as possible so that he can have a look at the videotape.
What have you, we spoke to Graham at the start of the show today about the disparity between the goods and the bads, I suppose, in this first round, 124-12 in the first three games. Have you got a thought on why we're seeing such a great divide?
Well, you know, I mean, obviously what I've seen over the course of the weekend so far isn't great. I mean, clearly we would have liked much more competitive games, and hopefully by looking at the draw, we should get much more competitive games for the remainder of the weekend. But, we had the way the draw's fallen, the way we've started the weekend, we've seen a number of blowouts. Leading up to this weekend, there hasn't been a massive difference in score lines and margins in the opening weeks of the competition. But, you know, I'd be lying to you if I said, that I wasn't concerned about what we've seen over the weekend, and hopefully that will start to level out a bit.
We spoke to Pappenhausen in the show earlier. I will play that for you in a sec. But as far as the rule changes go to our game, since COVID last year, we've had the six to go with the captain's challenge, the one ref, the quicker bunker. The new one this year, when kicking into touch, eliminating the scrum. The game has had a massive metamorphosis, and the players, I suppose, at the moment, this is what Ryan Pappenhausen had to say about how quick the game has become.
It is so different. Like, I think, yeah, you just got to have people around the ball and going forward, and the momentum is a massive thing. A six again call just changes the whole set, and just one of those things, you just got to go back and into the trenches and find something. And luckily enough, we sort of train for that situation. We do those hard pre-seasons, and usually say pre-season training is a lot harder than the games, but they'd probably be on par at the moment.
That's Ryan Pappenhausen a little bit earlier, Graham. So does the paces of the game, do you think that is contributing to those scoreline blowouts?
Hard to know. I think we're early in the season, and we're obviously collating data as we get through each game and each round of football. But in terms of the speed of the game, but just based on purely what the statistics tell us, is that we're not seeing those changes so far this year. And now I take on board that, we're not out there playing, and if players are telling us that it seems faster, then obviously from their perspective it is. But in terms of the amount of ball in play, the amount of stoppage time, the duration of games. The duration of games has actually come back a bit, so we are packing more action into a shorter period of time, so that could add to that perception of quickness. So, but we have to monitor it, we have to look at it, and you know, we can't do it on just a couple of weeks. We've got to do it across the season. The rules are with us now, and you know, they've all been brought in for the right reasons, to try and make the game more entertaining and free-flowing as possible for fans. So, but we'll continue to monitor it.
To be fair, Graeme, you guys do occasionally make changes on the run, and we've seen one this week with the 18th man coming into effect from round five. Where are you at with that consultation process? And can you give us any more clarity on what's an emerging player, whether it'll be used for foul play? Because that seems to be the suggestion, will now be used also for foul play, and it won't necessarily be an emerging player.
Yeah, well, we've after the commission made their decision on Tuesday and asked management to start consulting with clubs about the preferred model. Well, there were a number of models under consideration, but the commission came up with a preferred model, and they asked us to start consulting with clubs and the RLPA about how we might implement that as a rule change, and look for any, things that we might have missed in that rule. So we've done that over the last couple of days. We've set up video conference calls with every club, coaches, heads of football, other football personnel. We've taken their feedback. We've got it all on board now. We're just starting to bash it into some shape so we can go back to the commission over the next 24-48 hours with all that feedback. And the commission, of course, will make the final decision about what happens coming up to round five.
And will it remain the notion, obviously, the HIO, the head, and how important that is? What about just general injuries? If you've got a cleared bench because you've got three blokes with broken legs, it still affects what the game looks like and the competitive nature of it. That isn't being taken into account, though, is it?
Well, that's not the intention of the original rule change. The original rule proposal was that we cater for teams that lose players to head injuries. And obviously we apply a much higher bar now in terms of whether players can stay on the field or not.
Yep.
So we're seeing a lot more players going off for head injury assessments and many of them not coming back. So the commission were focusing primarily on that because obviously we don't want to keep players on the field if they've suffered a head knock. We want to get them off as quickly as possible. And if that's going to impact the number of players teams have on the bench, then that's the intention of the rule. But there certainly has been a suggestion about extending it to foul play, losing players through foul play. And Peter Volandis himself in the media a couple of days ago said that he was open to the idea of looking at that. So we'll get all the information and we'll collate it and get it back to Peter and the commission, and they'll make that decision.
Graeme, what about the bunker ruling on a forward pass? Have we gotten any closer to that? I know that if a bunker can tell, or someone can tell from watching the game, that if you're 2 inches in front of the kicker, surely we can see the howlers at the Nikarima to Murdoch Masilla against the Raiders last week, that surely the bunker could have seen that, and that was forward pass. So, I mean, the ones that are really howlers, don't you think there's a place for the bunker to rule on them ones?
Well, Mark, it's difficult, right? Because they're not all howlers, and there are many passes that people have divided opinions about, whether they were forward or whether they weren't, and there'll be a lot of arguments about that. But what we're trying to do is we're trying to come up with technology that will actually settle those arguments, because at the moment, people look at the same, you know, you can get a group of people look at the same video and some will say that was forward and others will say, no, it wasn't out of the hands. It wasn't forward out of the hands. And what we're trying to do is remove all that debate and come up with some technology that will give us the definitive answer to that. So how close are we? We're closer. It's not going to be this year, but, I've got some positive talks happening with the company, and then we have to determine whether it's actually going to do what we want it to do, and then we have to go back to the commission and put a business case forward, because none of this stuff comes free of charge, of course.
Yeah, well, that Hawkeye stuff, the technology is it's much different to, say, the tennis, because there is a line, it's pretty clear whether it's in or out, it's definitive, where the forward pass, it's the old, is it coming backwards out of the hands, does it fly forward? There's a whole lot of physics going on, isn't there, that makes it a little bit tough.
Yeah, and I wasn't too good at physics in high school. Mate, so.
Yeah, you're not low.
What were you good at, Graeme? Can you clap?
He's a good referee. He's a good referee. Well,
there's not many people that would say not much.
There's not many fans at Campbelltown that thought he was a good referee.
He's a good referee, mate. He's a good referee, this one.
Hey, before we let you go, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say I got much better the day I retired.
Today's paper, there's a story about the NRL investigating four Gold Coast Titans players, including skipper Kevin Proctor, for breaching biosecurity rules, playing pokie machines at a Sydney pub without wearing masks. What's the investigation so far? Have we gone anywhere with it?
Well, I mean, that's in the hands of the integrity unit at the moment, and they have a look at the circumstances. I mean, we have gone only in the last week, we've gone from level one protocols to level two, which is not a massive increase. I mean, we still have level three and the extreme level if we were back at last year's scenario. But where players can't socially distance, they have to be in masks. So the integrity unit will have a look at that over the course of the next couple of days, and then they'll make some decisions on that.
Graham, what about the Gold Coast? Because obviously things have calmed down a bit in Queensland. Will they go home? I think the original plan was for them to stay in Sydney for 2 weeks, but will they now go home next week?
That assessment won't be made until probably Monday night. So our biosecurity experts and the health authorities are in communication, and we have to make, or the commission has to make, a risk assessment. It's not just about whether lockdowns end or whether borders are open. It's about the amount of community transmission that is happening, and our experts give advice to the commission about the level of risk, and the commission have to determine whether they are prepared to accept that level of risk. So those decisions will be made over the next couple of days. I mean, obviously we would like to have teams playing out of their own venues and training at home, living at home and training at their home venues, but we have to also make sure that at all times the overriding factor is making sure that the competition continues and we don't risk COVID interrupting our season again.
Graeme Annesley, thanks for your time, mate. Really appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks, guys. Read about it. Read about
it. Read his mail. Brent Reed, he's the best in the business in terms of rugby league journalists. There's no doubt about it. Maybe the best. I think he's voted best in the Southern Hemisphere.
Did he get a trophy for that?
He's even turned the hat back. He means business. He's over the top with Sylvester Stallone.
He's got the little Leighton Hewitt lookalike going on there.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
What do you got, Reedy?
We might as well talk about Ryan Papenhuyzen. He's a bit of the man of the moment. Mm-hmm. Now, look, Melbourne have been trying to extend Ryan Papenhuyzen. He's off contract at the end of, the end of 23, I think it is. I think end of 23. End of 22. I apologise. End of 22. End of next year. So he's a free agent basically from November 1. Now, the Storm have been trying to lock him up long term. And I think there's an appetite on both sides to get something done. They're talking about extending him out till the end of 25. And they would be happy to go further than that. So that's a 3-year extension, but they're happy to go 4 or 5 years. 5 years if Ryan would be happy to do so. And I would have thought, look, I don't think Ryan and his management are in a real hurry about it at the moment. I think Ryan spoke about it earlier. But, look, Melbourne are very keen to tie both him and Harry Grant down. Harry Grant's got another year, end of 23, Harry Grant. But both those guys, I think they obviously see them as the backbone of the club going forward.
Sign Ryan Papenhuyzen until they've built the statue to put next to Billy Slater.
Exactly.
100%.
And I reckon they'll step that up. I think they're going to step up those talks in the next few weeks and months and try and get something done before November 1. I would imagine they would get that done. But Ryan Papenhuyzen, we're talking about a 3-year extension. I mean, that's multi-million-dollar extension for Ryan Papenhuyzen, because he's now an elite player in the game, and upwards of $800,000 a year, I would have thought, for Ryan Papenhuyzen. So you're talking $2.4-2.5 million for that 3-year extension. So
on the upper market, he'd get a mil.
You reckon he'd get a mil? He'd give it a nudge.
Yeah, he's the new superstar of the game. He's unbelievable. He's a fantastic player.
And we know how great Teddy is. And look, I mentioned before, just confirming, do you think that Ryan Papenhuyzen will be in the Blues 17 somewhere? He has to be, doesn't he? Or is he on the team? Do they play him in the wing with a license to run around anywhere?
No, I think off the bench. I think he's a perfect, come on at number... as number 14, 10 minutes before half time, and then stay on as long as he possibly can. I suppose he was close to last year, but I suppose with the Origin being in November and everything being so changed and different, it was after the grand final they played, and it was all over the shop. But this year, injury permitting, he's in the side. He's in the 17.
I could be wrong, but I think Brad Fittler almost admitted that he should have played Ryan Papenhuyzen off the bench in game three, because I think that was one of the mistakes he acknowledged himself that he made, that Papenhuyzen should have been there in game three as an interchange utility, basically. So yeah. I would imagine he'll be in the 17 for sure come game one, as long as he's fit.
Yep. Okay, Reedy, take us to the Shire. What's happening?
Yeah, look, obviously Sean Johnson's still out at the moment. He's still a month or so away from coming back, I believe. But there's a really interesting scenario developing there. You've got Matt Moreland and Sean Johnson. Basically, at the moment, they're competing for the same position because Chad Townsend's the halfback going well. Not only that, they're basically competing for the same dollars because I think Cronulla were looking at keeping one of those two guys. They won't necessarily keep them both, but they're certainly looking at keeping one of them. At the moment, I don't think they've made up their mind about which one they want to keep. And again, I don't think John Morris has made a decision on which one will play in the halves with Chad Townsend when Sean Johnson gets back. So, it's a really intriguing scenario developing there with those two guys and the fact they're almost fighting for the same dollars in the same position and will be when Sean Johnson gets back on the paddock in about 4 weeks.
I'd keep Matty Moreland, I think. He's more versatile, can play anywhere in the back line. His form this year has been fantastic off the back of a good off-season. I think all Sharks players to a man have looked fitter this year, so and that includes Matty Moreland.
All right, we talk about concussion a lot. What is the latest? Everybody's been concerned around Jake Friend. Have we got an email on that?
Yeah, I expect a decision probably early in the week, maybe on Tuesday on Jake Friend. At this stage, my gut feeling is that he will retire.
Wow.
So, you know, obviously he's been out for a while now, since round one, I think it was, from memory. So he's missed 3 weeks or so. And, you know, obviously there's been a lot of concern around Jake. He's had a great career, but some head knocks of late and I think the club's going to sit down with him early in the week, as I said, probably Tuesday, and we should get some form of decision. At the moment, I just get the sense that, his health is a priority and that retirement might be on the horizon.
But kids.
Kids. Yeah,
had his first kid, didn't he, recently, I think? He's got a business outside of the footy.
He's got a business outside of footy, yeah. I mean, he's got a lot going on in his life, Jake, and, you know, obviously that club's shown they're at the forefront of all this in terms of concussion and being on the front foot about it all. I mean, obviously they've taken doctor's advice and specialists and all that'll go in the melting pot and they'll make a decision early in the week. And as I said, I just get the sense that perhaps retirement looms for Jake.
Wow, it's amazing. It's an incredible ride, isn't it, the NRL player? It can be all over in a second.
He's had a hell of a career.
Yeah,
when you think about what he's been through, I mean, you know, he had a year off from memory where he had some off-field issues and the club, you know, he went and worked in a coffee shop and, you know, played Origin last year. Great career. He's been a great player for a long time, Jake Friend.
All right, that's big news if that is the case. And just finally, look, we held it over from our early discussion. Josh Maguire, what's going on there from the Cowboys? Is there a deal or talk of a deal with the Dragons, a little swap with Adam Clune?
Oh, there's definitely talk of a deal, Tony. I think I don't think the Cowboys would stand in Josh's way if something came up at the Dragons. And there was talks in the preseason about Josh Maguire potentially going to the Dragons. So there's definitely interest there from Anthony Griffin. And there was talk about Adam Clune going to Townsville in the preseason as well, and that eventually didn't happen because I think the Dragons wanted to keep him around. Now, I'd be surprised they let him go before Ben Hunt gets back.
Yep.
But once Ben Hunt gets back from that broken leg, then I think it's definitely on the cards. And I'd be surprised if Josh Maguire is at the Cowboys next season. It would not surprise me at all if he's at the Dragons at some point this season.
That's a great get for your club, Tony.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is a great get.
Absolutely.
Believe it or not. Believe it or not.
I'm just looking at the believe it or not questions that producer Charlie has come up with this week. He must have had a really bad night last night.
Yeah, he's angry today.
Don't you think?
For some reason, he's angry.
He's obviously got straight on the phone to Cody Walker, and two angry people have just got together and they've come up with this list. All right. Well, this first one isn't really angry. No. The first one is just, I mean, we should have asked Graham Annesley, I guess. The question is, believe it or not, Magic Round will go ahead this season.
I mean, yeah, I believe it. I think it will. I think we'll be right.
See, that's a positive. I love that.
I'm with MG. I believe it'll go ahead. It's already all clear up there. They're flying up in Queensland. We'll be right.
We'll be right. That's the attitude.
Yeah.
That's it. Well, that's all that hinges on, isn't it? If there's any kind of COVID outbreak going on, but I imagine, and we'll be there. All right. Believe it or not, and this is quite cruel because the man's just signed a contract. Des Hasler will be the first coach sacked in 2021. Inferring that there's going to be even more than one coach sacked this year. He just signed a contract saying, what if he gets into the eight this year or next, it triggers an extension of his contract. Yeah. What do you think? There certainly is pressure on him, Reedy.
Oh, this is a tough one,
get ready for a phone call if you say something.
You know what? I Don't believe it.
Don't believe it.
No. I fear for John Morris more than Des at the moment because I've looked at Cronulla's run. It's horrific. And they're going to struggle, I think. They need to win games. John needs to win games. I think they're going to struggle over the opening. I think it's, you know, it's going to be a tight race between the two of them because I think Des is really under the pump.
Yep.
And there's talk they're going to bring people in to help him. And that's never a good sign, particularly when you bring in guys who've got coaching aspirations themselves.
Flanagan.
Paul Green's got a mention today, Shane Flanagan.
As some kind of triumvirate.
It's more as a someone you can bounce ideas off or maybe give you some fresh ideas. And that's, you know, Des has never struck me as that sort of guy. Des likes to run his own race. Yeah. I can't imagine he'd react really well to having someone like that who's got first grade coaching aspirations, which Greeny and Flano do, and having them brought in to almost provide you with advice and mentor you.
I don't think he'll be the first sacked. I think given the fact that he just signed a contract, not many other coaches could do much with that roster either at the moment. You know, when your best player's out, it's profound. You know, you take the best player out of most clubs and they're going to struggle. But, I don't think Des will be the first sacked. Maybe no coaches this year will be sacked. That'd be nice, wouldn't
that be good?
Unheard of. That'd be fantastic to see.
It is unheard of. Although, given the scorelines we've had so far this season, you'd think so.
the water's getting hotter. Yeah. The water's getting hotter.
It is. We know that Moses Mbai has been given free rein to have a chat with other clubs. The question put by producer Charlie here in Believe It or Not is, Moses Mbai is no longer NRL standard. Wow.
No, I don't believe that. I think he is. Yeah, I think he is. I think he could be valuable to someone. Maybe the next Queensland team, hey, Reedy.
Well, have you seen Canterbury play?
Yeah. He's
NRL standard. I'm not sure what his best position is, but
14.
You know, I think he's a great 14. I certainly think Moses has got something to offer.
Yeah.
He's got something to offer to a club somewhere. No doubt about that. So, you know, he'd walk into a lot of teams at the moment.
All right, this is a bit of a can of worms that's been opened, and we're doing it via this. Believe it or not, Jason Taumalolo should be allowed, Brent Reed, to play State of Origin.
No, I don't believe it. He's played for New Zealand. Well, we shouldn't even be talking about this. Not us,
Tony
Carroll. Game in general. Yeah, but the rules changed to stop.
Brad Thorne.
We changed the rules a few years ago to stop that happening, right?
I'd love to see it. You know, we've got
MG. He got the chance to play for Queensland. He turned his back on it. What we should be fixing is the rule that stops Luke Keary playing for Queensland, because Luke Keary is a Queenslander, was born in Queensland, grew up supporting Queensland, didn't move till he was 10. He's a Queenslander. The rules are flawed, but that is the flaw in the rules. The rule that stops
Israel Folau and Greg Inglis were born in New South Wales.
But they should have never played for Queensland. That's why the rule. That's why the rule got changed.
Your junior, when you play your first junior game, and Tom Wilder played in Australia. He's a Queenslander. He's been 13, so he started playing rugby league.
Well, no, but he hasn't chosen out as his nationality to play for Australia, so therefore, why is he a Queenslander or a New South Welshman? His place of living is just by happenstance. It's not soul that's done
it. I would love to see Sam Burgess play Origin. I would love to see James Graham play Origin.
Oh, boy, you're an Origin legend. This is untrue. You don't mean this at all.
That's all stars.
That's rubbish.
Sonny Bill Williams.
No! You want people who have the passion, who want to, you know, just go.
We don't need him. We don't need Jason Taumalolo. We hold the shield, baby.
Oh, right. What if it's Viliami Kikau?
No, yes. Don't want him.
Don't want him.
Don't need him. We got Luke Capewell.
See, the other thing is, the whole idea you've got to have the best player.
Yeah, Kurt, sorry.
Surely
Kurt.
It's more exciting. Like last year when Queensland was written off as the worst State of Origin team ever, and they get the job done.
We've got Fifita, we've got Capewell, we've got Tino. I don't think Viliami and Taumalolo don't make the team. Please.
Wow.
Please.
Look at you smug Queenslander. Look at you. Just put your hat back
Kirk
to Capewell
too, yeah.
Final Believe It or Not, Josh Adokar is no longer the fastest man on the planet. Geez,
Charlie, must have had a bad night, Charlie.
What is going on? He's sitting there with his stupid little hipster moustache.
Get the cat to lick that off, will you?
I know. Yeah, the pants that come down just above the ankle, halfway down his calves.
I don't believe this.
You don't believe
he's still very fast, Josh.
He's the fastest.
He just died too early.
Yeah, for those who didn't see it, last night there was Xavier Coates from the Broncos, gets the ball, motors away. The Fox seems like he's got the pace to do it, and then goes for the early dive for the ankle tap. Yeah. And the question is, well, why didn't he chase
just
him?
Got his timing wrong. He's still quick. He's lightning.
He's quick.
He wouldn't make the Queensland team, but he's still quick.
We saw how quick he was, and we saw how quick Charlie Staines was when they played at Penrith Park, Bluebet Stadium. How quick both those are. I'd like to see a match race.
Actually, maybe Staines might have him, MG.
Yeah, Staines is quick, man.
Oh, he's lightning, he's the Forbes Ferrari.
Just we'll start, I think, with you, MG, from that Titans Raiders in terms of that big thing. What is the big thing coming out of this game for you?
Oh, the biggest thing. Tino Fasua Malaawi up against Josh Papalihi.
Yes.
I can't wait to see that. And I can't wait to see Reedy's notes again because I just copied off what he was going to say.
Well, you just
Reedy, don't leave your notes. There. Mate, don't leave your notes on your desk when I'm around, brother.
What a blunder.
Both forward packs. Like these, I rated both these in the top five in the competition in the Telegraph yesterday. And I think the forward pack confrontation is going to be epic today at Net Strata Jubilee Oval. In particular, the front rowers. Jared Wallace has found some form and he's looking good. David Fifita, man, geez, give him the ball 10 metres out and he scores every day of the week. And the Raiders have been a little bit underwhelming, I would say, in the opening three games. The Warriors, obviously, last week they had three major injuries in the first 10 minutes, so that, you know, that won't happen this week, hopefully, for them. I think the Raiders will win this game, but they've been winning a little bit ugly of late, so they need to make a statement, the Raiders, and I think they might today.
MG, just on that point, you talk about those forward packs getting into each other. The new rules and the pace of the game, has that affected those confrontations at all, do you think?
Yes. Yeah, I tend to think that maybe some of the bigger boys might want to keep things up their sleeve a little bit, and the angst isn't as much as there usually is. But there's definitely some collisions. Yesterday when we called the South and Dogs game, some of the hits in that game in the first 15, 20 minutes were fantastic. So these guys will collide. This is a big pack against a big pack, and I can't wait to see it.
What's your big thing?
I like the matchup of the coaches. You know, Ricky's very passionate, and he's on the sideline this week, is he? I think he says he's going to go back into the coach's box. But he's very passionate, wears his heart in his sleeve. Justin Holbrook's very calm and cool. And, you know, Ricky's been around a while. Justin's sort of fresh on the scene. I like that matchup, the coaching box, the coaching minds.
Coaching minds.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Well, Justin Holbrook, I tell you what, he's going to be a coach in this game for a long, long time. He's a very impressive coach.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.